This is Johnny Bluestar. Welcome to Threshold, a global media event. Is the universe just a random dance of atoms? Or is it a manifestation of a supremely intelligent architect? Can its purpose, or our purpose here on Earth, be adequately assessed? Can we commune with it, know its intentions, cooperate with its direction? Here, we define Threshold as a gateway state of awareness, allowing mankind to cross into a place of real cognition. Threshold allows us to approach questions of higher reality through the door of experience rather than mere belief. Welcome to Threshold, where we tear away the veil from commercial media, bringing our audience and participants into another realm of reality and enhanced communication. Welcome back to Threshold. We are exploring the magical world of crop circles with Patty Greer, who's a filmmaker, a singer, musician, songwriter, and truly a seeker after truth. Now, in our last hour, Patty, we were talking about your relationship with the scientist William Levengood. And yes. Could you please tell us more about what happened with him?
Yes, absolutely. I was speaking in an event in Michigan. Somebody flew me out to be the speaker for their kind of psychic weekend where they have all these healers and psychics and tents wrapped around the lake, and I was their keynote for 3 days. So the people were very amazing and wonderful, and the first night a gentleman came up to me, and we were kind of sitting catty-corner on the couches. And he said, "You're this crop circle person." And I said, "Yep." He said, "There's somebody you need to meet." I said, "Who's that?" He said, "Well, I'd like to take you somewhere. Are you willing to go with me?" And I said, "Did you hear my talk?" And he said, "No." I said, "Have you seen my movies?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, how do you know then that this is somebody I need to meet?" He said, "I'm a graduate of her intuition courses. I know you're supposed to meet her." And I went, okay, maybe tomorrow. So the very next day, I'm at the end of my day. It was great. I sit down on the couch. There's the man again. And he asked me again. And I said, I ran my pendulum. They said, go. So can I have your license number? And I just gave his plate number to a few people there. And I said, I don't know you, but, yeah, I'm up for an adventure. So he takes me 45 minutes away to this farm. In the middle of nowhere, Michigan, and a beautiful farm, huge 18,000 square foot meandering house, and I meet this sweet little woman who's the same height as me, not very tall, and at the end of 2.5 hours till about 2 a.m, I'm thinking, okay, well, I mean, she's awesome, she's brilliant, but why was I supposed to meet her? I wasn't getting it. So I said, I have to speak at 9 a.m. So you're going to have to take me back to, you know, the event. I got to go to sleep. So I thanked her for, you know, a couple hours at her table. And she said, here, let me give you one of my books. And so I said, well, wow, thanks. And she said, I've written 7. And I said, wow, I've actually made 7 movies. I'd like to give you one of mine. So we kind of traded goods. And I went through the pages. And, oh, my God, there's a picture of crop circle nodes. What are they doing in your book? And she looks at him and she says, you didn't tell her who I was? He said, nope. And I said, what? Who are you? I mean, what? I don't understand. And she said, well, I'm actually the person that worked with William Levengood for the last 16 years of his life. I'm the real partner who did the research with him, and this is the farm that you're standing on where all the science experiments were done with the seeds from crop circles. And I looked at her, and I looked at him, I said, you're telling me that I've been here 2.5 hours, and we didn't talk about this? Okay, I'm coming back. So I couldn't believe it. It was like, I can't believe, you know, that we could have spent the previous 2 hours really going through the heavy stuff, because she knew the real research that this amazing scientist that's in the Guinness Book of World Records, but not a doctor, because he didn't give a darn about the system. He was like, I'm not doing that paperwork and paying that fee and doing the exam. You know, he just wasn't into the system. He was into the science and the reality of the communications coming to us from other worlds. And he knew it was real, and he proved it. repeatedly, and he still has not been acknowledged for this work, which blows my mind. So he'd been gone for a year and a half, and after I met her, she said, well, you know, we're throwing a wake for William Levingood in a couple of months. We'd love to have you come back and join us. So I said, I will drive across the country. Thank you so much for the invitation. So the man takes me back to my hotel, and I'm sitting in the car for 45 minutes going, why didn't you tell me who she was? And he said, it will play out. So I'm like, God, I feel like I'm living the Celestine prophecy. So he drops me at the front door of the hotel at 2:30 in the morning, where there's a couple of women standing outside, one smoking a cigarette and the other staring at me as I'm walking toward the front door. And I said, good evening, ladies. And the gentleman is going around the parking lot who drove me, and he's doing the big loop. And the lady says, who's the tall, silver-haired gentleman next to you with a goatee? And I looked around me, and I said, I don't know. And she was one of the lead psychics at the event. And she said, he has a message. Can I give it to you? And I said, sure. She said, he's standing next to you. I watched you walk with him to the front door. And he just wants you to know that he orchestrated this, and he's really glad it worked. And I said,
that's great.
Hold on, I'll be right back. And I ran through the parking lot and jumped up and down to stop the man from leaving. And luckily, he looked in his rear view and backed up. And I'm panting, and I said, what did William Levingood look like? He said, tall gentleman, silver hair, silver goatee. And I said, oh, my, he's here. He's here right now. And see those two ladies over there at the front door? She just told me, and so I told him the story. And he just nodded and smiled and said, sweet dreams. So that's how I met William Levingood, was that he had actually chosen me to do this work to help him. And this woman, whose name I still don't mention because of the level of hacking that I'm still tolerating today.
Well, all I can say, Patty, is that you are the one.
I sang it. I guess it might be true, but at least in this aspect, that William did, for some reason, choose me. And then the Circle Makers did this very interesting dance with pulling me out of my music fully. I mean, this fingertip thing, come on. I'm out constantly pointing to the sky going, yo, and pointing down to the earth, yo, I'm here, I'm loyal, I'm yours, I love doing this work. Can you give me my freaking hands back? I mean, I'm always making deals with spirit. And the funniest thing when you're working with them, really, they don't give you what you want. They give you what you need. And the last time I was out whining on my deck, help me out down here, they gave me my first four physical, visible sightings of my life within 2 weeks. And so I realized after the fourth sighting where I just put my hand up and I went, okay, I'm good with this. I'm good living in the woods with the foxes, and I'm fine with this. This is cool. And as long as you keep giving me sightings and visitations and data, I am willing to do this work without ever living in a city again, without ever having a big house, fancy this or that. I love what I do. So now this ball of light story, I really kind of needed to set the palette, because you said a lot of your audience may not know about the advanced sciences. And this is kind of graduate course that we're going to go into if we're going to talk about the balls of light. And again, I want to repeat to your audience, my website has 6 movies where you can really see hundreds of crop circles. And you can really meet the people that I interview year after year over there, because they're the real crappies. They're the ones laying in the crop circles with me. And those of us that are the real crappies year after year after year after year, some of them have been going, Barbara Lamb, my darling friend, who's my closest crappie buddy, has been in more than 2,000 crop circles. That's impressive. So these are the people I interview, not the famous reporters or the people with the TV shows and, you know, all that nice funding, so they're doing the appropriate thing and telling the world what we're supposed to know rather than the complete story. So I'm totally out of the loop with all that, because my devotion is to being that one for William Levingood and for the Circle Makers. And I'm pretty much ineffectual anymore as far as anything about the ways of the corruption. I don't even want to go there. It's like so in the past, my focus and all of us listening to this show, we really need to focus on this moment forward. How can we make a difference? So I didn't realize I was making a movie. I thought I was taking photos and footage to show my family and friends back in America because I was so stunned by how real these crop circles are. So when I asked permission to use this famous footage of the balls of light, and this will relate to William Levengood in a minute,
right.
From Janet Osebard and Bert Janssen, two great researchers, real crappies that have been in the fields for decades, they gave me permission to use the footage. It's in their movie called Contact. Those of us really doing the work authentically, we just give the stuff away, which is probably why I'm not rich anymore, because we're here to do the work to get it out to the world, not to hoard it and put our copyright on it and our watermark. That's the old paradigm. What this is about now is getting the messages out to the world and realizing the real plasma physics that are happening in crop circles with these high frequencies that are all of us, the Earth, the sky beings, and humanity. So I bring back this footage where you can see two balls of light going over a standing field of wheat, and within seconds, this field goes down into a number of circles on the outside, one circle in the middle, and a straight bar going to each of those circles, connecting it like a grid. And this ball of light footage is fascinating because the two lay it down in a few seconds, and then once they fly out of the picture, a third ball of light flies over and literally checks the formation. And the most fascinating thing is that, you know, everybody was told that it's fake, so go back to sleep. I bring this footage home. I lay this movie down with some kid on Craigslist, not knowing I'm making my first of many movies. I had no idea what I was doing. I was high on mercury poisoning. I was getting in these little planes with no door on my side, flying and filming. I would not do that today, I don't think. But I was so kind of in the moment because of the change in me. The mercury was totally through my system. So there was this complete willingness to do anything and everything for them. It was fascinating as I look back. So I'm looking at this footage on film. I bring it home, like I said. I lay it in the end of the movie, and this wonderful kid on Craigslist, this editor, and I said, "Wow, cut. I can't believe how easy it is to make a movie. That was crazy." So he, you know, I'm like, "Wow, let's turn the gear off. Go take a break, cool everything down, and then we're going to come back and watch it." So we hit save, turned everything off, and we started to walk away. And I looked back, and I said, "Oh, let's turn the monitor off. What's that blue orb doing on the monitor?" And I'm pointing, and there's this big blue orb. And I said, "That's not in the movie. What is that orb on the monitor?" And he looked at me, and he said, "That monitor is unplugged from the wall."
Whoa.
All of a sudden, in Boulder, Colorado, the hair went up on my arms, goosebumps head to toe, the electrostatic or electromagnetic energy in me lit me up like a friggin' blowtorch, and I looked at the editor and I said, "We're not alone." And he said, "You look really weird." I said, "I feel really weird. And we are not alone. Turn the gear back on." He said, I said, "No, turn the gear back on now, please." He's like, "Oh, okay." And I was, for the first time that I knew of, taken over by this telepathic communication from the circle makers, whoever they are. And I said to the editor, "Show me that Oliver's Castle footage again where two balls of light lay a crop circle down in seconds." And he said, "Yeah, that was pretty cool." I said, "Light it up again and show it to me." So we watched it, and I said, "Reverse it." He said, "Why?" And I said, "I don't know. Play it backward, please." And I had a different tone to my voice. And so he said, "Okay." So he reversed it, and I watched it, and I said, "Slow it down." He said, "How slow?" I said, "I don't know, 30%. And that totally creeped us both out. And even I stepped back from myself and went, "Whoa, that was weird." We slowed it down and reversed it, slowed it down 30%, and right there in front of my eyes and his, I said, "Lock, stop. Oh, my God, what are we looking at there?" And between those two balls of light, There was a direct communication, black, white, white, black, white, black, white, a binary code or some kind of code between those balls of light and further on to the right beyond that second ball, the communication continued on. And in that moment, I looked at this kid and I said, son of a gun, that was weird. And look what we're looking at. Proof, positive, that this footage is real, that those balls of light communicated right before they laid the field down. In that moment, everything in me changed. And I said, I am committed because something just happened in me, through me, and we just proved that this footage is real. And
yes. That
day forward, I made 4 movies by myself with an editor hired on Craigslist. I made 4 movies in 2 years, Johnny. 4 full feature films. Not me. They, whoever they are, used me and my music to lay out these movies effortlessly. And because, like I told you, 2007, 2008, I put myself with my own money in England, in the epicenter. I laid in dozens of crop circles both years for 9 weeks. I didn't leave the area except to go to the Glastonbury Symposium to see all these famous speakers come in from around the world and speak about crop circles in case there was something I wanted to learn. And I'm watching the show all day long. It's all the people I've been hanging out in crop circles with all summer long. And those are the people that are in my first movie called The Wake Up Call. Dash, anybody listening? Question mark. Now here I am 10 years later going, oh my God, it's still the question. Anybody listening? That's the problem with crop circles. We've been so misinformed that they were all made by 2 old guys, Doug and Dave, so go back to sleep, or that the Oliver's Castle footage, the only proof positive that crop circles are real, and some famous guy said, no, it's fake, go back to sleep. And everyone believed it. It's very bizarre to me to know so clearly how real it is and watch all of us staring at the truck and then walking into it as if it's not there. You know, it's like it's so in your face. It's so in plain sight. It's been happening for so long. But the misinformed public has really fallen for the blue pill. And they're still drinking the Jell-O juice and going, yeah, this is cool.
Well, Patty,
and
we're gonna,
meanwhile,
we're gonna
we have everything we need to evolve.
I'm going to take a break in a second or so. But I just want to say that maybe in the next sequence here, we can discuss the messages that you feel that are being sent out by these crop circles.
Also, yes, with the data from William Levingood, yes.
That would be great. We'll be right back.
Nowadays, if you are a serious business person, just getting assistance from someone with a license and a bit of experience may not be sufficient. In fact, your realtor actually needs to be knowledgeable enough to be one of your top advisors. Whether you are facilitating a giant merger or selling your company, there's a lot at stake besides your finances. There is the future value of your current investment, financial freedom, integrity, and overall reputation. If you need this kind of assistance, Sandra Laflamme is a real estate expert with the experience, reputation, and knowledge qualified to assist you in all your key transactions. Sandra Laflamme, real estate services with integrity and conscience. Contact her today at 888-366-8070. That's Sandra Laflamme at 888-366-8070.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We could take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God! Are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects, like book covers, logos, web design elements, with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theater, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact Robert, go to johnnybluestar.com and let me know. That's johnnybluestar.com for artist illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too.
Since the advent of the internet, and particularly Amazon, the world of book publishing has changed. Competition to develop a best-selling book is tough. It can be expensive. But there is one kind of book that can be useful without running that gauntlet. That is a book about your own business. The best business card there is. For more information, visit New Galaxy Enterprises or contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com.
Well, we're back with Patty Greer, who's giving us, I guess, a graduate program in the Balls of Light, in the work of William Levengood and the messages of the Prop Circle Builders. Patty?
Yes. Well, so William Levengood went on for more than a decade experimenting with plants and seeds from crop circles. And he realized through his scientific experiments that the seeds within the center of crop circles, when reproduced, could grow up to 400% more food and biofuel per seed, with up to 75% more nutrition per plant. Now, as we look at the world today, with Monsanto running the planet into the ground, trying to destroy the food supply, when we end that plague of that company's actions, we're going to need technologies like this to bring our food supply back, right?
Definitely.
So Tesla, of course, and great scientists who are being deeply suppressed right now have given us many, many technologies who do everything that we need to, shall we say, clean the oceans from human misbehavior. And also, this is, I think, one of the very great ET technologies that's been gifted to humanity, and I think the suppression of all of this UFO wisdom is about to really hit the public, which is going to be the best thing that could happen.
Well, it's a shame that all this wonderful stuff exists, and we can't even really use it, and mostly we don't even know about it, except for those of us like yourself who really make a point to find out.
Well, yes, and I'm also in a family with a mother and kids and elsewise, and none of them really want to hear anything about my work. So, you know, it's a very delicate dance to be doing this work because people around you don't support it in general unless they've had an experience. And I really find that I choose consciously to surround myself with very few people anymore. And they have to pretty much understand or be a contactee so that I can communicate freely. I don't do well with suppressing my own self, so I just don't go. But I'm old enough now that I don't feel the need to be highly social, hang out in bars, and go dancing. You know, I mean, we all have our chapters of life. This one is a very, very different, like you're saying, graduate course. So
yeah.
Here go back to the farm a few months later for the wake of Levengood. The very first night I stay at the farm, I stayed there 3 weeks with this woman who was his real partner. And every morning I would wake up and I'd hold my head in my hands with coffee and I'd say, okay, I'm ready. She'd go, why are you holding your head? And I said, because you freaking blow my mind. Tell me again. This is how I'd start every day for 3 weeks. And by the 10th day, she's saying, come on, Patty, you have this. And I said, you know, for 9 years I've been pointing to the sky thinking the circle makers are E.T. alone. I mean, it really took me days to get this research into my core. And then as soon as it hit me, I had to realize, well, of course the mother is sending these messages. Look what we've done to her, the earth. So Levengood and this woman figured out through reprocessing or re-engineering the frequencies within the plants, the seeds, within the crop circles. They had magnetometers and all kinds of devices that they could come up with to figure out what these frequencies were. What was this energy that was raising the hair on people's arms? You could take a totally insensitive person into a crop circle who really doesn't want to be there. I mean, come on, I got calls to make, and nothing will go up on their arm. So it is a matter of also being open to other frequencies to even to be sensitive and to feel what's going on there. So here I am at the farm again, and every day I'm listening to her more. I'm looking at the slides from the research that they had done. I'm looking at the evidence and all this proof. And when they finally figured out how the crop circles are happening, they found that they're coming out of the earth in spinning vortices, like little spinning tornadoes of high frequency that's been sent intentionally from within the earth through the core. And they're usually coming up in pairs, counter-rotating to the other. So one is spinning clockwise, and the other is spinning counterclockwise, and they're usually coming up side by side. Now, interestingly enough, I met Stephen Greer in a crop circle in 2010, and I have a photo of him holding two compasses that prove that what Levengood and this woman said is real. And his two compasses, one pointed north that way, and the other pointed north in the opposite direction in the center of the crop circle. Wow. So what you have is a confusion of frequencies because they're going in opposite directions, but they're not confused because they're separate. And they have a set frequency to deliver a particular message. Now, can you imagine hearing that first thing in the morning 3 weeks in a row?
Well, this is like almost unimaginable experience altogether. It's so profound that what I was thinking of, you know, Jodie Foster's movie Contact, was very interesting and moving, but the elements of messaging is in the real world is so much greater than that fictional story. Oh. It's so gigantically greater.
Yes, absolutely.
So and I think very few people know this.
No, I had to take the research of this brilliant man and woman and deduce it to what humans physically see so that I can explain it to the masses, because that's my job that they gave me. They said, make the movies, figure it out, show them how, and keep telling it, keep telling it, keep telling it, which is what I had to do when I was listening to her. I had to keep listening, because it, like you probably are shaking your head going, wow, that's news. And all summer I've been speaking at all the events in America and Canada about Levengood's work, and people are like, you're kidding, I thought it was only ETs. But, you know, then the rest of the audience is going, oh, come on, it's just a couple old guys with boards and ropes. But after my presentations,
sure,
which
right.
is always up to 150 photos, by the time I'm done, and I said, any questions? Not one hand went up. And then a couple seconds later, you know, they started to raise, but you show them enough crop circles, there's not many questions left. And again, I'm encouraging people to go to my website, pattygreer.net, and look at these images. You can stream the movies for $5 for a week and watch one 3 times, and you'll see so many crop circles that when you dream, you're going to wake up knowing more. That's pretty much a guarantee.
Why don't you run down just the, you know, the names of the films and what they're about, just briefly for our audience?
Great. Well, the first one we talked about was my most innocent movie when I didn't know a thing. 77 minutes long, and at the very end, you see the communication that I found between the two balls of light, which in my opinion is the dessert of the film, because it says, this is real, these balls communicated, and now what we know through William Levingood's work is that those are real spinning plasma frequencies of inner Earth, human consciousness, and ET. And the science of how all three of us meet in these spinning balls of light is, again, even further out there. But what we're looking at when we see these balls of light over a crop circle, that's what it is spinning frequencies of communication, intended communication. And Levingood and the partners said that it's not always human element, it's not always ET element, because sometimes, but it's always Earth. They're always coming out of the Earth. So sometimes it's all three of us, but sometimes it's just humans and the Earth. Sometimes it's just ETs and the Earth, not including human consciousness. And it's really been proven as we look at the different messages, which is now what we're going to want to talk about. And we mentioned earlier that there's mathematics, that there's codes, that there's sacred geometry, which is those patterns of mandala, where you've got a center dot, and then everything around it is symmetrical to directly across the circle. And we get massive sacred geometric formations. One of my favorite has 409 circles, and it's on the cover of The Wake Up Call, Anybody Listening? Movie, the first movie. And 409 circles in Fibonacci sequence repeatedly. It is the most outstanding mathematical formation, and it happened on a completely rainy night. And the first people in said there wasn't a footprint of mud. Now, how can we pretend that's fake? It just blows my mind that humanity is still not giving credence to the fact that we are being spoken to, and the messages are left like sticky notes in the field, like love letters in the farm fields for everyone to see. And the non-coincidences of the consistent delivery methods of crop circles, 96 or 7% of the documented crop circles have been noted to be sitting over an aquifer of water. This area of southern England sits over the largest salt aquifer in the world. So, of course, what a great canvas, because there's so much water there when they find the right location, which is also dedicated to this. 96 or 7% of the documented crop circles have been found to be sitting on a ley line. And a ley line is a direct line between two sacred sites. Now, a lot of the crop circles, when we put a push pin of every location GPS on a map, at the end of the summer, our little research center in Wiltshire called the Silent Circle will have this map set up. So every time there's a new crop circle, the red push pin goes in. Even if it's found to be human-made, every location is marked on the map. And then they overlay the ley line map. And almost every crop circle is sitting on a ley line, and many of them are sitting on the crossing of two ley lines. And this area of southern England, of Wiltshire, is laced with sacred sites that have been honored for sacred ceremony for thousands of years. Not just hundreds, thousands. So this area is heavily laden with still very strong Druid blood. People that really honor the earth and work with the elementals. And when we, Americans from our cement city and clean cars that just went through the car wash and our freshly coiffed outfit that is recent this season, go over there to England, we kind of laugh and snuff and go, my God, their houses are so dirty. Don't they wash their cars? Oh, my gosh, look at that old-fashioned clothing. I mean, we're just such different thinkers. So my first few years over there, it took me a little while to realize how much more important it is to honor the land than honor the cleanliness of your car. So, you know, my whole brain has just been shift-o-change-o on every level of my human existence. And that's what's opened me up to be this available to just do nothing more than read the messages day after day after day after day. So here's the ones that I think people will be able to relate to as far as We talked about codes, mathematics, sacred geometry. The other one is pictograms, which are pictures, like a sketch in the field of a hummingbird. Can't miss it. It's a hummingbird. The phoenix rising. The swallows. The thunderbird. I mean, in 2009, we had no math, no codes, no geometry. It was all pictograms. It was the most unusual summer. Birds, fish, insects. Do you remember that unbelievable crop circle of the dragonfly?
Yeah.
Wasn't that amazing? And it had veins in the wings and different messages throughout the body. Well, that's the summer I'm talking about, 2009. Now, on the insect world, there's the dragonfly, very noted and sacred. And they also did the ancient beetle. And then with the fish, they did squid and octopus. But they also had the ancient sea creature, was it the Orthoceras? 300 million year old sea creature. So they're showing us ancient birds, fish, insects all summer long. And present birds, fish, and insects. And I'm thinking, what's the message? Why is there nothing else but pictograms? What a fascinating crop circle summer 2009 was. What happened in 2010 in the spring? The BP oil spill murdered fish, birds, insects. Billions of them. And continues today, because it's really not cleaned up, and the core exit was one of the worst ideas they could have come up with, other than it was intentional. So we got real problems, you know, murdering, slaughtering our nature, our divine nature. And we had warnings in crop circles the entire summer. Now, I don't know if people are going to think I'm imagining all this, so it's true. It's only my perception. That's all I have to go with. But let's talk about another one that I don't think was a coincidence, such as the turn of this century. We had two binary code crop circles that were very famous. And let's talk about what they might have been referring to. In 2001, we were amazed by the response of the Arecibo message, which was almost a direct mirror image of a message that we, the Americans, had sent out from our telescope in Puerto Rico, the Arecibo telescope, out into space to the star cluster, 300,000 light years away, I believe it was, to a star cluster called M13. And we very specifically sent it there because we felt that maybe there would be conscious life. And so we told them what our body shape was, the elements on the Earth, the layout of our planets, our DNA structure, what our telescope looked like, and 2001, turn of the century, they sent us back a response. Now, those who knew the message we sent out were probably gobsmacked that it was so similar. It was clearly a response to that message sent out in 1974 by Carl Sagan and Frank Drake, and it was different response. They had larger heads, smaller bodies. They had a different star layout. They had a different DNA structure. Every answer had different elements of information which responded to them, different than us. So the most interesting one in 2001 was that they added silicon, which is their base, and which is probably where we are headed now as we move into the fourth density.
How is the idea of silicon? Do you know how it was encoded in the crop circle?
You can Google, or you can watch my first movie, The Wake Up Call, anybody listening. It's when you look at it, you can see the nine different changes visibly. Because I'm not a code reader, I can't tell you specifically, but I know that silicon was mentioned in their Earth, their planetary elements, whereas it was not listed in ours. And since we're elaborating on silicon, let's not only look at silicon-based beings, but also silicon at the turn of this century added to our computer systems really enhanced our abilities. Did that come from ET? I don't know. But isn't that interesting to look at? So it was sent to us in a binary code. Now, when they use a binary code, they're spelling it out. Because they know, number one, we can read it on a computer. Number two, our mathematicians can read it. So If they don't want us to pretend it's something it's not, they'll put it in writing, binary code. That's how that message delivered in 2001, and most of us were pretty amazed. The following year, 2002, 8 miles away, was another binary code delivered, and that was the famous Alien Face and the Disc. Do you remember that one?
August 15th, 2002.
Yeah. Now, that one had acres of amazing wheat laid down, and it was in little dots and dashes, which is incredible when you realize that was late in the summer, the wheat was brittle, and I've got ground shots in the movie of that formation. I mean, really impressive. And that binary code, and the binary code the year before in Crabwood, 8 miles away, not only were placed in arbitrary farm fields, they were both placed in fields with huge telecommunication towers on the side of the field. Now, those telecommunication towers were filled with satellite dishes. Why would the circle makers drop them there? Why would they put them in writing in binary code? My guess is that they wanted us to read them correctly and that they wanted us to share the information with the world because, hey, what a great opportunity. You're sitting right there in a field with all this telecommunication equipment. Tell the world, look what we have right here. And the message in 2002 said this, in the Alien Face and the Disc. The disc was binary code, and as they read it on all kinds of different devices, it was specifically this message. Now, I'm going to point out just a part of history that happened 6 months before I recite the message, which I can recite with my eyes closed. But what had happened 8 months before, 6 months before, whatever it was that $2.3 trillion had gone missing from our treasury in the Americas.
I remember that.
Yeah, but, you know,
it's
we kind of forgot about
that,
it the next day because 9/11 happened, a new horrific cover story, which was yesterday, but 2001. And everybody forgot about the money that went missing because, oh, my God, 3,000 people died. Or I apologize, whatever the number was, but it was horrific. It was unnecessary. But again, it's part of our recent history as we have everything come to the surface to be healed. All the satanic, all the dark occult, it's all really exposing itself in plain light now because we're at the end of it. So here we get this message after 9/11 and the money went missing. And the message from the circle makers is this. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing.
Well, you know, Patty, that reminds me of another little component of your movie, of something that took place in November 29th, 1977, quite a bit of time before that, where a television program was interrupted by someone claiming to be Gramaha, the representative of the Astrogalactic Command. And I'm not about to, we don't have time to really go through the whole thing, but I thought it was interesting that that what he says is that we need to be careful about false prophets.
Right.
People who are, he says, be aware there are many false prophets and guides operating in your world. They will suck your energy from you, the energy called money, $2.2 trillion, etc., and put it to evil ends, giving you a worthless dross in return. Your inner divine self will protect you from this. You must learn to be sensitive to the voice within that can tell you what is truth and what is confusion, chaos, and untruth. Now, whether this is a correct message or not, in terms of the source, I won't debate. But the fact is that both the binary code message and this message is totally correct.
I think so too, Johnny, and thank you for reminding me. You know, I'm old enough to remember when that message hit the news lines. 1977, it actually took out 5 television stations, and nobody could do a thing about it. The police were scrambling, the telecommunicators were in a panic, and nobody could stop this message. And what happened was it took over 5 different telecommunication towers where they lost control, and this entity completely spoke to all the people of the world through TV screen. And the message was exactly what you said, plus more. And I vaguely remembered it. And for some reason, as I was making my last movie, The Shift Has Hit the Fan, which is movie 6, somehow somebody off the wall that I didn't know sent me a link to that message. And I watched it and I said, oh my God, I remember this from my childhood. Did you remember it the minute you heard it?
I heard it from your movie.
Well, I remember it from my childhood. And I think what's going on is we are now being reminded of so many bits of very important information and messaging from other dimensions, but we are so distracted by the world and the false prophets and the news and the propaganda that we forget the important things, such as these warnings, such as the data, such as our true divine self.
Well, Patty, with that, we're going to have another treat for our audience, but one that sort of accentuates what you just said, because we'd like to play another song that you wrote that we think is emblematic of your message in general. May I play it?
I'm just guessing. Is it We Want Our Planet Back?
Nature needs rebounding, so we're wishing on the stars. I'm just a kid at heart, and that is where we start. Let's do it differently. It's sickening all the people, and it's killing all the trees. It's falling in our eyes, and it's getting harder to see the beauty that is our world and the freedom to be free. It's landing in the water, we know it's in the air. It's time for you and me to show we care. Say no to GMOs, hiding in our food, and no to fluoride in our water too. Let's save this family and do what's right for Earth and you and me. Step into the new way,
into the new way,
where we live in harmony. No more war, no more fracking, we are free. Who's in charge here?
Who's in charge?
Let's do it differently. Sickening all the people, and it's killing all the trees. It's falling in our eyes, and it's getting harder to see the beauty that is our world. world and the freedom to be free.
Patty, I want to thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for playing that song. It really does sum it up, doesn't it?
It sure does. I want to ask everyone
well,
in the audience.
Well, my music is all available on YouTube and on my website. Of course, you can get CDs, but Patty Greer Music on YouTube, and it's kind of one of my great secrets. People have no idea that I was a musician because people just know me as a filmmaker. So thank you for bringing that to the public, and I do want to quickly go down the names of my movies you had asked. The first one is The Wake Up Call, Anybody Listening? The second one is called UFOs, ETs, Abductees, and Brilliant Minds. I filmed that with 29 speakers at the International UFO Congress Convention. Then in 2008, I filmed 2012, We're Already In It, and pretty much everything came true, and I think that's one of my most beautiful movies. Because I was starting to get it. Oh, gosh, I'm a filmmaker with intention now rather than the accidental filmmaker. My fourth movie, I realized nobody saw the communication between the two balls of light. So I did Crop Circle Update, The Wake-Up Call, and I stuck the proof that Oliver's Castle is real in the first 5 minutes. And I showed it three times, and still nobody's really getting it, which just blows my mind. The fifth movie is called Orbs and Light Beings, which is probably another graduate course scary movie for many people because it really focuses on the plasma lights, the balls of light. And in that movie, I interviewed a man and his friend that had not only seen the balls of light over Eastfield Crop Circle, but they saw the ball turn a doorway open and illumined light beings came out of the ball of light. These guys were absolutely sure what they saw. They were not on drugs. They were really incredibly bright people, and then everywhere I went for 24 hours, everybody I met was in that field and spoke about the orange balls of light. Then my sixth movie is called The Shift Has Hit the Fan, and that's the one that you just heard the song from, that I play the entire message from 1977, features Foster Gamble from Thrive, Sasha Stone from New Earth Nation, absolutely brilliant inventors with the free energy technology, Cyril Aerospace, and 3D printing. Basically, it's a fearless move into the new paradigm, showing us what's possible and pretty much leaving behind everything that's holding us back now. Amen.
Well, thank you, Patty. I just want to remind our audience that when you go to pattygreer.net, you're going to get, you can actually hear one of these terrific movies streamed for only $5. And you're going to get a lot more out of this than you'll get by buying a ticket at a normal theater. I will assure you that these films are transformatory. Our next show is going to focus on the work of Dr. Hugo Rodier, who early in his career took on the very controversial idea that nutrition should be a governing factor in the examination and treatment of most medical conditions. Now, as Dr. Rodier points out, much of what has already been in medical journals for years is now being applied to medical practice. This is especially important because of something called the leaky gut syndrome. And we're going to discuss this next week in depth, and thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. I want to thank everybody who's been involved in this project. I want to thank our Mike Fox, our board operator, Irma, Ryan, and also particularly John Stiles, who has helped me so much. Take care and have a great week. We'll see you next week.
If you like Threshold Radio, a program dealing with core issues affecting our personal, political, and spiritual lives, and advocates the creation of an enlightened and informed citizenry throughout the world, then you might think of supporting your business and our message by advertising on our show. If interested, just go to www.thresholdradio.com or contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com.